You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or streaming and archived on kfai.org. It's where community has always grown.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Gitchy Miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island. This is Deanna Standingcloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle? You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending as you when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending I'm blood condoms in the red? Got a tribal ID if you want to act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is. I'm praying for you. Bonjour, Turtle Island. This is Deanna Standingcloud. You're listening to Medicine Bundle. Thank you for joining me on this 4th of July weekend. I know for my nation, our Independence Day is in July, July 6th and 7th. So looking forward to the 5th. Well, I'm not going to partake in them, but looking forward to seeing them on social media. I am so looking forward to our conversation today. I have a dear friend with me who's in the studio, and I'm just looking forward to, catching up with her and also just hearing about the things that she's excited for. So I'm going to let her introduce herself at this time.
Bonjour, Deanna. I'm so glad to sit here and visit with you. Guadalupe Lopez, my government name. I'm just so excited to be here and to visit and to be in space with you. Thank you.
Hoa. Hey, hoa. Sometimes when I'm on my radio show, I'm like doing the power MC thing. Hoa, this one. Everybody dance. Hey. So it's... yeah, there's powwows coming up. But it's really good to see you. I can see you. So we're having our conversation, our virtual conversation. You look amazing. I know the last time I saw you was probably almost a year ago at the opening up with the Jingle Dress. So it's been a while, and I know we just follow each other's lives and cheer each other on from where we are, and that's just kind of the heart that, you know, when Quay sisters get together and they uplift one another, and that's always the vibe that I get from you. And I'm just looking forward to just capturing a little bit of what you're up to and how you're healing, and because it's an ongoing process as Native women with healing, and especially in the summer, it's such a powerful time. We can just start off with, like, how are you kind of caring for yourself and your heart and your family in this day and age and in this season? Because it's there's been a lot of upheaval in our lives with the in the energy field, and it's a lot for especially Anishinaabe, Kwais and matriarchs and women holding our families together. So how are you taking care of yourself in this moment?
What a great question. So I have a break that I didn't expect to have. And I was just, before I was going to come visit with you today, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, universe makes things happen. I believe that we're all magicians. Whatever we put in the universe, whatever we want, we are all deserving of it. And I think, if I'm to be honest, I wanted a break. I need, you know, I've been doing gender-based violence work for a very long time, you know, 20 plus years, and working with our tribal communities, working with survivors, working, you know, in different capacities, in all different forms, in lots of different forms of violence. That takes a toll on a soul, you know. And I think my cup was empty, but it was empty for myself, but I never let it be empty for my community, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I would show up when I was nothing but a shallow, hollow vessel of whatever to be helpful, but I wasn't showing up for myself. And I remember being in my 20s, because I'm about to be 50 this December, which is amazing. I just celebrated my half birthday. June. Everybody should celebrate their half birthday. Yes. I started. My whole friends are like, half birthdays. I was like, when you have a December birthday, you don't get to do barbecues. You don't get to go to the beach. And it was close to Christmas, so it was like kind of slim pickings for, you know, like people being able to kind of like do things. And mm-hmm. So, anyways, but I remember them saying, and I never understood it until probably now, was like, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I also know that as women, and I wanted not just Anishinaabe, not just as American Indian women, women of color, women in general, like our white-bodied relatives, we're told as women that we always have to give. That's what we do. And we have to give until there's nothing to give. And that's how to be a good woman. And it took that to heart, like, you know what I mean? And I just didn't know. I'd never had anybody else show me by example of what it meant to do real self-care. So it was like, well, this is what we do. So this, I was taught by society, but also within my own family, within my own community. And so those are very loud teachings that are unspoken, or that are not, you know, not spoken, but they're very visible. So they back up everything. And then we also live in a grind culture that's about, you know, doing and, you know, having materialistic things. And what does that mean? And if you're really successful, it means you own this and you have this. And how do we reverse that? Because originally our people didn't have those things. And we can pinpoint when the history of that changed for us in many different points of our history, for all the reasons, assimilation, violence, you know, just policies, all of those things. And then also now it's choice. Now we are doing it by choice and not necessarily by we are forced to be in this thinking or to be in this doing. So all that to say is, how I've been taking care of myself is actually, this is probably, I'm going to be embarrassed, but if I re-listen to this, I haven't been like folding my laundry. like my you think now that I have a little bit more time on my hands, that my house would be like immaculate. And right now I'm sorting through months of mail that I haven't looked at. And that's part of my self-care. I was like, you know what? I just don't want to do that right now. That causes stress. Another thing I've been doing is going to ceremony. I went to Big Drum ceremony. When I can, I do my morning meditation meeting with a group of amazing people in the morning at 7 a.m. And we read from a meditation book, and we just kind of talk about like, what does that passage mean for us? I laugh with my children. Like, there's been gardening happening. There's been just like me and my youngest child went to the lake and went floated on the water and just like was in the water. Water's healing, you know? So I think, and then just spending time with my friends and also my family, and just not having a grind mentality right now. That was a little bit of a shift, because one of the biggest things that I've learned right now is that I have always done a certain kind of work in my major adulthood, that was my identity. And so if I'm not doing that, who am I? And how much we attach what we do in our work as our own identity. And what I learned, and I was told this too, when your employment will replace you. Mm-hmm. Not, it doesn't take them long, but your family cannot replace you. I was working so hard that I started to develop health issues. Mm-hmm. With with my blood pressure, and I have like things going on with my eyes. And I remember talking to a colleague, and because I have to get eye injections in my eyes, and she had a spiritual talk with me, and she goes, sister, what is it that your body doesn't want to see? Mm-hmm. That's your body telling you, like, that your eyes are like, I don't want to look at that no more. And I had to take a step back, and I was like, and then I was like, well, maybe I need to take a break from the things that I'm doing, because my spirit and my body are like physically manifesting of like how hard it is sometimes to do this work. Mm-hmm. So I have good news. When I last went to the doctor, they said that the first time in 4 years that my eye was actually had a healthier scan than it ever has in 4 years. And my blood pressure was down.
Wow.
So that tells me that everybody needs a break. But I also want to preface that it is a luxury to have vacation time. Mm-hmm. It is a luxury to actually have a break, because sometimes people can't do it because of the way, you know what I mean, the economy. And so I recognize that too. So I want to make sure that that's very clear, that I recognize that. And then part of me is like, we as humans make up this whole 9 to 5, Monday through Friday gig thing. We make that up. There's enough money to go around. There's enough everything to go around. And we just have that, you know, people create a scarcity mentality. So I don't know how to do that, all that, but I'm willing to sit around and ponder over some nebbish, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I also think too, the guilt that the letting go and feeling guilty, like, I don't know what it is, but I feel guilty when I take my dog on a long walk. I'm like, why am I feeling guilty? And I'm like looking at the trees and the flowers, and there's birds everywhere. And I'm like, and it took me a long time. Like, I've been walking him in the same space for, you know, almost 2 years. And I'm finally getting to a place, you know, out of that I'm seeing light at the end of the tunnel, where I'm feeling like not as guilty. So I think Native women in general, there's also like emotional programming and like, you know, that spiritual stuff of carrying, especially in nowadays where we carry kind of everything, family, and our men have been stripped so much of who they are as Native men, you know, that it's just like we have to carry all that slack. So that guilt, I think, was huge for me. Do you feel like you have to tackle with, you know, guilt a lot of the time too?
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite addiction is guilt. I'm like, man, if there's one thing I'm addicted to is guilt, and I have to like name that. I think there should be actually like groups where we talk about like how, mm-hmm, guilty. You know what I mean? And like, and I remember feeling like I didn't have anything to feel guilty about, so I was searching for things to feel guilty, yes, about.
Yeah.
The plants. I'm sorry, plants. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to be singing to you. No, I don't sing to my plants, but It's things like that. So yes, I'm addicted to guilt, and I have to say that actually as an outside thing. Before, right as I was stepping into this this time of period of my life, this spring and summer, I had more time to think of a lot of things that I was too busy working hard, escaping with other things, being busying my brain and my body. So what happens is we're kind of running from it. People do it in all kinds. We always run for everything. You do it by working, which is the most acceptable way that to have an addiction of work. That's the most, people like praise you for being a workaholic. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism, drug addiction, whether it's even working out, whether it's gambling, all of these things, whatever when we do anything out of balance, right? It's a problem. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about, I had time to actually sit because I didn't have to get up at a certain time and go do certain things on a regimen. I had to sit with myself. I had to be alone with Guadalupe, who was running away from all of the little things that Guadalupe feels guilty for, bad for. And I had to just sit with them. And I also remembered I try to do it as a good relative to myself, because I have to love myself. So if I do feel guilty for, I was thinking about my children. They are 27 and 23 now. And one day I couldn't stop crying over how much time I spent away from them as they were children. I was very lucky to have their father he kind of raised them as a single father a lot, because I was always traveling. I lived out of a suitcase for many years, going to other tribal communities to teach them about, sexual violence, domestic violence, sex trafficking, all of these other things. And I was thinking about how I was very blessed to have a partner to step in that way. I couldn't have gotten that work done. But also, like, my children missed me. Mm-hmm. And so that guilt of like a mom needs to be there, even though I was being supported by my husband at the time, And I don't know, all the guilty, guilty that I have a pile of mail here that I was just like, I better look at that. I bet you there's something really important in there. You know what I mean? I'm trying to let that go, because that energy sticks in our fibers. Yeah. And I am really trying to let that go and say, that's all made up. That's all like the habits of white supremacy. And I'm really trying to pay attention to the habits of white supremacy and what it does, because everybody has one they hold on to the most, and it impacts white people. And this is not against white people, because it don't serve them either. It really does not serve them, but we pretend like those are the ways to do things, like the C and the written word and the either or thinking. And so I am trying to decolonize, and it takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes a lot of time to be present and to practice that muscle of, how do I be present right now when I'm like freaking out because there's a pile of mail here that I should probably go through, or oh my gosh, I forgot to pay my, this, that, and the other, or something like that. So,
And then when you kind of like work on feeling more present, in retrospect, it's kind of like, man, I was, I try to make note of how far I've come. Like, it's super hard to like take stock of all your accomplishments, and like, because I was a basket case. Like, I don't know if that's the proper word, but I was just, like you running around, and I didn't know how to say no to anything. And my kids were always late, and we were always fighting and stressed out and commuting and rushing around and yelling at each other. And I'm like, this was in my, in my 20s, but man, and it's, you could so fall into this colonized thinking. So it's going to take a whole lot of like reprogramming to get those thought patterns out, and like to like put yourself aside, because we're taught not to value ourselves. We're taught not to take care of ourselves, almost like in a mockful way. Like, why would you, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, get up and keep moving. And it's self-care is continuing to move. Like, if you're intentional about taking care of yourself and then just kind of being with your environment. And I, you know, recently I've been really paying attention to all the plants and the birds. And I've just at ceremonies this summer, you know, it really mm-hmm. woke me up to just seeing the world again and feeling like myself. So it is super powerful to like remember yourself. And the main message I got was like, take care of yourself now. And, you know, so you can help other people, because there's so much help there. They help so much, and I will never forget it. And to accept that help was even, you know, I don't know if it's shame or if it's like, I have to do this on my own, or because it was just myself and my daughter there. Like my son was at a different, you know, he was out of state, and my, mm-hmm. my daughter was watching my dog, my oldest daughter. So it was hard to like even accept help. And I think mm-hmm. as Native women, we have to normalize getting help.
It's true. And so what I try to live by is what I try to tell my daughters and and my friends, my close sister friends, you know, if this was, you know, like if you're going through something that you're really judging yourself on, I say, okay, imagine, would you tell your daughter this? Would you tell your best friend this? Would you tell your sister, your auntie, your grandma, your mom this? Your uncle, it doesn't even matter a gender. Somebody you really love. Would you say, yeah, you better not ask for help because you don't deserve it? Would you tell them to say that? Never. So why do we say it to ourselves? Like, why do we ever? So a dear friend of mine started a GoFundMe. And I was embarrassed. And she asked permission first. So I got to give her, like, she's like, hey, listen, I know you're struggling right now, you know, you're figuring stuff out. And may I do this for you? And at first, my first reaction was like, no, I got it. Even though I'm waking up, I'm laying in my bed at night going, I don't know if I got it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I got it. You know? And so I said, yes. And it took a lot internal.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you're talking about. Now, I would have done that for a sister 10 times over. I would have said, I want to do this for you. Let me help you with this. You know what I mean? So, and I am so grateful that every time, I don't even, like, even if it was... the people that stepped in and stepped up to support me so I could, you know, take care of my health. And I'm forever grateful. I am forever grateful. And when we help other people, why don't we accept help back? I think that that's almost being like, that's our ego jumping in the way. And I know we have teachings around what our ego does and what it shouldn't do. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel that. And I kind of want to go back a little bit to what you said about, you know, when you go to ceremony and that guilt and that rush. And I remember I was very young when I went to Lakota. I was invited more to Lakota ceremonies than I was Ojibwe when I was younger, because that's who I was around the most. And I got invited to Sundance. And I remember being there for the very first time. And I remember the culture shock of coming back from being in a ceremony where it felt the way it felt. And I experienced, and I was amongst, whether they were not my tribe or not, but they were like, they were my people, my relatives, right? And coming back to the city. And then I remember going to Lodge. And I remember coming back after that, and I will go this month back. And I love that. I kind of get some kind of, the only word I have to use is mad or like unrested, that I have to come back to this. after feeling in such a purposeful way that we are together. You know what I mean? And but I suppose if we were doing it every day, maybe it would just kind of feel normalized, and it wouldn't feel the way it does to come back to like the city or the reality. And then some people, we don't all live in the city, but I do. So to come back to the loud and the noise and the busy and the energy, the loud energy is kind of like a culture shock. And I was thinking about that of like, okay, so how do I intentionally still take care of myself spiritually when I don't have ceremony to go to? How do I create ceremony for myself within my own home by myself? And I was just thinking about that because you were mentioning, you know, going to ceremony and how important it is and how much it is to be with family, to learn, to laugh, to actually be grounded into who we are, where our blood memory actually like wakes up and is so excited we're there.
You have been listening to Medicine Bundle on KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio. We are taking a break. We'll be right back.
At North Point, you're cared for by a team that listens to you and supports your medical and behavioral health. Whether you're a new or returning patient, make an appointment that fits your schedule. See us in person, on video, or over the phone. We can help you with insurance, discounts, and payment plans. Call 612-543-2500 or visit northpointhealth.org/start. North Point, your health, our priority.
Hey, you're listening to Dallas Goldtooth on the Medicine Bundle on KFAI 90.3.
Bonjour, we're back. You're listening to Medicine Bundle, and we're chatting with our sister Guadalupe Lopez, and we're talking about all the spiritual work it takes to be the best person that you can be for ourselves and for our family and for our ancestors and our descendants. Because I feel like, as Native women, when we heal, we're not just thinking of ourselves or even our immediate family, but we're also thinking about our grandmothers and our grandchildren when we do that healing. And I feel like, you know, this summer, that's where my mind went, was a lot of for my grandma and for my mom, and thinking about my great-great-grandma who, you know, she passed away when I was, I don't know, 15. But, you know, they have those influences. And it seems as you get older, too, it feels like you feel their influence even more, which is amazing because you know, didn't know them, or even I have a grandfather that I never even met. He passed away when my grandma was like 19, but I'm starting to feel his influence a lot more. So, how do you, as you know, just in the city too, take that time to, how would you, you know, support others and taking that time in the city and, you know, as, you know, for our mental health. And because, you know, I live kind of in an apartment building, so it's like you have to be close to the land. So it's mm-hmm. a little tricky. So for our urban listeners, especially.
Right. Well, so I've always been an urban Indian. Like, I was born and raised in St. Paul. And so I think what I feel the most helpful for me is to find little baby oases within this, within the city. When I can't get to Leech Lake, or I can't get to the, you know, White Earth or any other reservation. And also being in community. So when I was, when I was younger, a younger mom, and like in my, probably in my late 20s, early 30s, I wanted to make an effort to raise my children in, so they got to know their culture. So my children are, you know, they're intertribal. They're, you know, Winnebago and Dakota and Anishinaabe. And so all I could give them was what I had access to at that time. And so I would, like, when they're having like educational classes at, you know, wherever, and if you have the opportunity, go to them. I think sometimes we don't do that because maybe we're embarrassed of like what we don't know or whatever, or who's gonna be there. Like that's another thing, like, well, who's gonna show up? But I think that we need to be in community together, and we're stronger together. And so bringing my babies to Sugar Bush and Wild Rice Camp in White Earth, and you know, actually like making an effort to ask somebody, can we go berry picking? We went blueberry picking, and learning how to make, you know, birch bark baskets and things like that. Like, it changed my children's trajectory. It changed my trajectory. I was also learning alongside my children. You were talking about your ancestors and your grandma and great grandma. My mom died when I was 27. And so that's pretty young to lose your mom. And my grandmother passed away when she was 3. So she was never raised by her mother. And she was actually raised in boarding school. She went to Flandreau and then she went to another school. So her maternal instincts were a little bit different, but man, she loved hard and she was a good mom and all of those beautiful things. I look like her a lot. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if grandchildren are in my future. I always raise my children to say, it's always, just because you were born and identify as a woman or a female does not mean that you automatically have to have babies. And I wanted to give them that knowing that they had the choice. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean if you didn't want it, because there's a lot of women who choose not to, you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's in my cards to ever be a grandma, but biologically, but I will be, I am a grandma. You know what I mean? I'm grandma. I'm grandmas to other people and other babies. And so I take that just as serious as I do with, if they were, you know, came from my own children. So that healing generation piece of like living in the city, finding your oases, finding your places that you get to actually ground yourself and lay on the earth, walk barefoot on the earth, hug trees. Oh my gosh. So
sit on rocks.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Big boulders.
They pull that energy. Mm-hmm. So those are one of our best, you know, helpers is our nature relatives, because our plant relatives and our grandfather stones and grandmother stones, like, they're huge to help us with that healing process. And sometimes we act like we're just pitiful and we're like, we're all alone and we don't have any helpers, and that's not true. And I hope that whoever's hearing this can like practice, what does that look like for me? How do I sit in space and And it doesn't mean it's pretty. There's been times where I've laid on the ground and I just ugly cried, like just mucus coming out of my nose and just ugly laying there because I needed to. And that's healing in itself, just as much as laughing is, just as much as sleeping is, drinking water, all of those things. And so sometimes when I was an executive director and I was like working with my team, I would just do a check-in with a medicine wheel check-in, make them draw a circle and then do the quadrants. Okay. How much of this circle do you think you paid in the last week? Do you pay attention to your mental health and draw that quadrant in there, draw, you know, the quadrant of spiritual things that you're doing to take care of yourself, emotional, mental. And then usually there's always like a quadrant that has nothing to it. And so I asked them, what are you feeling that with? Because you're feeling it with something, because you're a whole person. So there's something that you're feeling it with that, you know, that you need to give more to maybe whatever quadrant's really like a little sliver, because they're not all equal. And they usually won't be all equal, but there's usually a gap of something that are not in those four quadrants. And so I'm like, that's for you to figure out. This is your gauge to kind of say like, oh man, I'm really going hard on the just doom scrolling, or I'm going really hard on just, you know, like something that doesn't matter, that's kind of just being a substitute for us to check out.
Mm-hmm. Like numbing us and kind of finding comfort, but immediate comfort. You know, like I think my cop out is like watching TV or movies or and scrolling too, and it does you know, it has an effect because it's programming. It's called programming for a reason. And I really love how you said that we try to act as pitiful, because we really do. And when you step outside, even just to go outside, you know, it's like you have so many helpers, and it's that just turned something for me. So especially in this beautiful city that we're in, I there's no, you know, other cities this beautiful. We have so much nature around us, and it's beautiful. I always want, you know, when I was younger, I thought it was so cool to like not be here, and like I didn't really like Minneapolis. It was whack, and you know, nothing happened here. And now, you know, this is such a beautiful place, especially the people, the natural spaces. And so, I mean, this is just beautiful. So I love that. And there's always something that we're trying to comfort ourselves. And, you know, I had an elder recently, you know, like, just go ahead and ask, like, there's helpers and they're waiting and they're hanging out, and they can't really do anything unless you actually ask them, and it's, you know, they can't interfere. So if you're asking for some support around that and some connection, you know, it's all within us, and we all have the capabilities. And so it's a little hard to like turn inward and like see that and see yourself through a different lens when our society has programmed us to not see ourselves that way.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I'm learning now, and I'm trying to unlearn what I learned when I was little. I think my mom, because she was a survivor of boarding school, she was not down with the crying, like, you know. And I remember my sister giving birth to my niece, and my mom saying something kind of like out of pocket a little bit to her. It was like, she goes, Indian women don't cry. She's like, just like kind of like while she's giving birth and in that much pain. And so I'm like, and I just felt bad. I was like, where did my mom get these horrible messages from? Because crying is like one of our major, major healing, you know, tools we have. It gets toxins out of our body. I mean, I remember telling that to my daughter, one of my daughters who does not like to cry. I'm like, I don't like crying and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I said, okay, so if you were going to throw up, would you just keep the vomit in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
You just hold it there? Would you just do that? Like, just hold vomit in your mouth? She's like, no. And I was like, then let them damn tears out.
Mm-hmm.
Let those tears out. You know, they need to, they, those are actually toxins that come out of our body, and there's nothing embarrassed to be when we need to cry. Because have you ever noticed that when people cry, they always apologize? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cry. Like, no, we don't apologize when we laugh. Well, maybe depending on if it is an inappropriate laugh, but yeah. So inappropriate time, I guess. But I think all of those things are great. Like, I'm trying not to be embarrassed about crying and letting that go, because that also shows, I think that shows Creator that I am so blessed to be alive if I can cry. Mm. You know, that I take, you know, I'm happy to be in this current meat suit on this spinning rock at this time. And I'm glad that I can, you know, like I all of those kind of cool, you see those memes on social medias that are like, you know, like I'm just a spirit having a human experience. And I'm trying to like actually take that, because I do know that I chose to come here at this time to be born to those parents, to experience some of these things during this time. And it's scary, because I look at some things in the world and I'm like, really? I'm strong enough for this right now? I was like, what? But then that's when we pull in community, because we don't have to do it alone. And we do have spirit helpers who love us very, very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes. And you know, I think for the 4 days that I spent after I came home from ceremony, like you said, like the adjustment, and I cried a lot. I cried a lot. Like when I came home, like I had to like work at the Two Spirit powwow. And then I had to put out stuff in the woods. So I had to like travel to like go outside, and 2 days in a row to do that. So, but I cried a lot, but it wasn't like, and my daughter would say, it's okay, Mom. You don't have to try to soothe me and comfort me. But I was like crying because I was happy. And it was like, I was going over everything. And I was telling one of my bros, you know, we kind of met in our 20s and did, you know, taught each other a lot of spiritual stuff. So, you know, I was like, man, I've been crying a lot, like, but like happy. And he said, well, when you cry, when you're happy, that means that the Creator is close to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, that made me cry more. Because it's so powerful. And it's like, how else are you going to discharge all this energy, this positive energy? And like water is such a pure thing. So you're dispelling the water. So it like, I don't know, it just kind of medicine. So it was, I cried a lot. Like my eyes were puffy. I slept so much. It took me a good week to like kind of come back. And I'm still kind of, because it's, I guess, you know, it's like spiritual, like, you know, like surgery. You're doing a lot of spiritual lifting and work. And it's, so crying is amazing.
It is. And I'm trying not to, because of the way that I was raised. What your daughter is like, soothed, like, oh, it's okay. It's, you know what I mean? Let them cry. And people, I realize that how uncomfortable humans get when we are next to a person who is crying or grieving. Or I was in my youngest child had an experience where she was like supporting somebody that she knows that had just a really family emergency, like bad family tragic emergency, and I couldn't do anything. There was no words to fix it. There was no, all I could do was ask if she wanted a hug, and then just let her hold her while she cried. Like, how beautiful is that? I mean, you know, and so I think I said, yeah, we can't fix it for people. And we want to, and that's beautiful. And but also just being a witness, and giving somebody a sacred space to actually grieve or to feel those strong feelings, whether it's anger, whether it's grief of tears or whatever, is a really beautiful thing we can do as to be a good relative, is actually create a safe, sacred space for them so they can get that and be the witness to it. And A lot of times we end up like trying to do that in private because we don't want to see anybody. That's a human. Everybody does that. There's no such thing as somebody that does it. And if they are, it's coming out in different ways. I promise you that. You go ahead and say you don't cry, but you're going to do something else because, you know, and our body will get sick if we don't. Our body will like hold those in and we will physically get sick. And they will manifest into other horrible things, whether that's rheumatoid arthritis or possibly cancer, all of these things when we don't take care and get those things out. So, like, yeah, I believe in that as well.
Yeah, that holding the space is super powerful because you're not trying to fix anything. And why would you want to take on the responsibility of, you know, I think it's like an impulse to like, oh my gosh, let's get some tissue. It's okay. Like I'm trying to figure out ways to make her stop crying or make whoever is, you know, especially our men too, like holding space for them and normalizing that they have emotions too, because it's not, like you said, it's not healthy to suppress emotions. And, you know, there's a culture where you're teasing, you know, in Native men about having emotions and things like that. And they're so archaic and old Indian guys, but that's a whole nother, I don't want to spin off on a tangent with that, but I love that. That's beautiful because it's a sacred space where they can discharge physically the things that they need to like spiritually heal. So yes to that, because we don't always have to like fix things or make it stop, or, you know, because it is somewhat uncomfortable because you want to fix it.
And it's not our work to do, but we get to be a beautiful supportive witness to support that energy work that they're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. In real time and their own self-healing mechanisms.
Right.
Love it. So what are you, I know it's summer, and I know I'm starting to just appreciate simple things and be more, practice just being focused on one thing because you cause anxiety. What are you, excited for in the coming months and kind of the summer and your family, and just what are you working on?
So I am, I will be going to lodge pretty soon here. So one of the things I'm kind of, you know, getting ready for that, but I'm also I really wanted to, my goal was to go to Canada and visit Canada. And I've been invited many times, and I couldn't go because either I didn't have a vacation time for work or it just wasn't the right time to go because of whatever was going on that I made an excuse for. Either you make an effort or you make an excuse. That's another little words of wisdom from my friend Jen. I really want to go up there. I've never been. I have, you know, I want to connect with my friend Carmen, and maybe hang out with her and her family and go visit. I mean, if she listens to this, she'll be like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm here. Didn't even invite me. I'm just like, and then I'm going to come visit her. And I've just been enjoying like I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm always about adventure. Like last summer, I think I visited like 4 new waterfalls I've never been to.
Wow.
You know, and so I like make an effort. And then I think I have a goal. One of the things I like to try to do for myself is 3 things. When you wake up and you're kind of like assessing maybe your dreams, or you're just kind of like, how am I waking up today? And just kind of having that one little personal time in the morning before you have to put your feet on the ground is do something for your health, do something for your home, and then do something for your heart. And doing something for your heart is like, what brings you joy? What is the one thing that you can do today to bring your joy? What is one thing that you can do for your home Whether that's maybe a chore, or whether that's like, oh, I gotta, you know, take care of that assessment thing, or whatever it is. Or maybe it is like, I have to have a meeting with my roommates or my children or whatever it is. And then stretching, walking, drinking your water, making sure that if you're tired, you're taking a nap. So if that, I try to do that every day. Some days I'm really good at only doing 2 out of 3, and then I don't make myself feel bad for it, because that's how that day went. So I'll be honest, if I've been kind of struggling a little bit around like what I shared earlier about, like, well, what's my purpose? Who am I? You know, like, this is a time I'm going to be 50. I'm in this beautiful age that I am so excited to turn. Like, I'm really proud of who I became in my 49 and a half years. And I have long ways to go, believe me, but I'm still proud of every little achievement that I've made and to sit with that. And I also was like, well, how do I reinvent myself? Is this the time? Is this universe saying, okay, I'm changing the trajectory for you? And so I was like kind of looking into school. Mm-hmm. And I don't know like what I want to do, but I was like, oh, maybe I go back to school. Mm-hmm. And I really like change something that could, you know, help me. I was invited to go to Montana to do some speaking to share some knowledge with some amazing people that are doing gender-based violence work in multiple communities in Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota. And I was there for the Victory Day and the reenactment of the charge. And one of the things that I learned about myself during that time was I want to continue to work with my people, for my people. That I do know, because I was like, well, maybe I do something else, you know what I mean? And but I want to do that always. And whether that is, you know, I don't know yet. So I feel like that's what I'm committed to, is figuring this new chapter of who Guadalupe is, and then also not saying no to opportunities, even if I'm scared to do them. Mm-hmm. Because there's some things where I'm like, well, I'm not smart enough for that. Or I'm not this, that for that. I'm not enough for that, or some, whatever it is, you know, I want to get over that, because that's not even true. So, and what's meant for me is always coming towards me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to fight for it or, you know, be shady to somebody else to get it. It's always meant for me, and always, you know, give other people their flowers, because they deserve to be recognized for their hard work too. Like you doing a podcast. I'm so proud of you. Like interviewing and visiting with community members who are doing amazing things that sometimes get overlooked in mainstream culture, because they are not this, that, and the other. And but it's important to us as Indigenous people and Native people. So I think that's honestly what I'm working towards, is like, who am I right now? And I'm figuring that out. And so it's a little scary, because I always thought I knew who I was. And but this new opportunity has changed the way that I'm feeling about my future, and how I'm excited for it, and try not to be scared, because the universe always has my back. It never not had my back. Yeah.
Yes. And everything you're saying is the thread that ran through all the interactions that I've had over the past couple of weeks. So yeah, just, I think turning over the control, or like the need to, control is super hard, because that's something that I gripped onto, is like, I need to control this, and like, I just need to know how it's going to get done. But having that shift, and I think in our, in our age, is we realize like, okay, it's going to happen. We've always been taken care of. You know, I had an elder, at my home this past weekend, and we got to visit, and she was just drinking coffee, and we visited for a couple hours, and she, you know, she's like, you're always going to be taken care of. And have you, you know, you've always had everything you needed. And it's so true. And it's like, I need to like look at the abundance of that, because it's so true. And I feel so blessed to like have the, you know, the network that I have with all the teachers and the healers that I connect with, and I can, you know, ask for help or offer things. And just the opportunity to have ceremony is a luxury too. Especially in the city when, you know, I hear people that they don't even, you know, like they want their kids to have their Indian name. And I just took that, you know, my mom and was really young when I was born, but I always had an Indian name, and I, you know, I was always enrolled. I don't know when they enrolled me, but, those things are luxuries, especially right now. And it's like, we have to just be grateful and for the things that we have access to, because it's not everybody does.
Yep. And also wake up and change the policies that don't serve us, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we like do both? Because I hear you. To have balance with that of like, and I don't want to use the word fight, but that's what it feels like. Oh, you know, swimming upstream or like climbing the mountain of change. Whatever you want to, you know, put towards that. But how sacred rest is, but also we need to like change for our future generations. I mean, you talking about enrollment, I was like, during the ICE surge, all the push for the tribes here in Minnesota to actually say, hey, come and get your IDs, do your descendancy papers and whatever. And I just, it just made me think like someday there, because of the way that the world works and we're not, you know, in human nature, we're, I mean, will there be enrolled, you know, able to be enrolled people in, you know, 30, 20, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it like all, I'm sorry, that's another tangent too, but I'm just, you know, thinking of like, how do we, in order to be good, be, you know, good to ourselves right now, to take care of ourselves right now. We are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it for our future ancestors. Mm-hmm. But what do we want to leave them? You know, and I know that that has been something that's been said for generations and generations before when we were still in the stars. So I think, I don't know. I'm always down for a good, like, what do you want to do? Want to change it? Like, I'm always down for that too. And I'm like, sure, I'll show up to that meeting. Sure. Let's go ahead. I'll say a little something about that, you know? And then I don't know. So I think that that's part of our healing too. And I just want to give a shout out and a recognition to our ancestors that came before us that did a lot of changing so we could learn our language in schools now, and that we were citizens, and that we were, you know, recognized as this and that, and that we can practice our spirituality and, you know, all the sacrifices that our people made. I know I won't even know all the stories of what my grandmother made, because those are, you know, weren't able to be passed down to me, but I know something happened great, or else I wouldn't be here.
And it's within us too. So I feel a lot of that stuff sometimes comes through dreams. Yeah. Or even like during the day, you're like, oh, or, you know, I get a lot of like, downloads or like understandings just kind of moving through the world. And I'm like, oh, and I start understanding more things. So those things, and being open to that, like being open to different ways of knowing things, because it's not always so black and white. Like, it's not always on a computer. It's like you have to like tune in and like shift your frequency to a place where you're open enough to like be available to get information different ways, and like be conscious of the natural world and be mindful of like who's around you in the space, because that is how you kind of start a ceremony outside of ceremony, because it's ceremonies is beautiful, and the experience is, you know, you're brainwaves are in this like healing state when you're there, and you're kind of so happy and like so elevated. And then when you come home, you kind of have to work a little bit to kind of have some of that in your everyday life. So accessing, you know, and having your everyday life be a ceremony. So your rituals that you mentioned is so important for Native women of our age too, but also those.
And this is Community Radio. It's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, online and archived at KFAI.org. Sure, take a deep breath, have another hit of fresh air.